Yeah. Well, that's how we're starting the show. Hey, welcome everyone to the Orlando Soccer Show. And yeah, we're here to quote unquote burn it down. We're back here in Brad's kitchen.
Hi.
Brad's here.
I'm here.
And we're talking soccer.
We are.
So this is going to be a quick show because the All-Star Game's tonight, as we're recording this.
My dogs are currently playing Mouthy Bitey.
Mouthy Bitey?
I mean, if you own more than one dog, you know how they play with each other. You know, they bite at each other's mouths. They don't actually bite each other. They just sort of
pretend bite.
Yeah. Just playing.
Yeah. So,
how you doing, Austin?
Well, you know, Orlando lost again.
Yep. I sure did.
Hey, at least it was entertaining, though. Right? That's something you can take away from it. Listen, there is something that I have noticed with this team. If they do well in the first half, they do poor in the second half. If they do poor in the first half, they do well in the second half.
Well, that also, any team that plays the Galaxy, it seems, can't forget that they like to score goals in the second half.
And also that they have Zlatan and that you should probably mark him better than Orlando did.
Yeah, I'll say this. The PC culture around this club is really bringing things down. And by PC, I mean Victor Guerrero.
Yeah, he wasn't as bad as the game before that, you know, the Thursday game.
Low bar.
I mean, listen, he hasn't played in a while. You can only go up from where he was, right?
I mean, sure. If that's the takeaway.
Just look at the positives, Brad.
Say something positive, is that what you're telling me?
Isn't that what we try and do?
Yeah.
Look through the rose-colored glasses?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, so Orlando City lost 4-3 against the LA Galaxy. The offense played probably the best it has had.
Looked really good. Looked really good in the attacking third.
Yeah.
Just,
I'll quote a friend of mine, Justin Bryant. He's an original Orlando Lion.
A friend of yours.
I mean, yeah.
Moving on.
All right, well, what he said was Orlando playing some of their best soccer of the season in attack only, which I think is probably the most apt thing from that game that you could possibly take away from.
Yep.
Because the defense was poop, and that's the nice way of saying it.
Yeah, that's a way of putting it.
Well, Dom Dwyer scored.
He did.
Mohamed Elmanir looked decent in the attack.
He did.
Sasha Kljestan was probably on his best form of the season. I would say probably one of his best games in an Orlando uniform.
You know, when you look at key passes that he's been involved in since the coaching change here, it's like another player, really. When it's night and day when you look at it, you know, before and after the coaching change.
Yeah, it's weird, isn't it?
Yeah. It's done a lot to serve him well, and it makes you wonder why other players aren't getting it, I guess.
Well, I think he's just a veteran player.
Well, I guess there are other veteran players who aren't.
He's seen a lot of it, though. You know, being in Anderlecht, being in Chivas USA.
Yeah, I would say
his Chivas USA experience probably prepared him for a lot of things in life.
Yeah, it would.
So, I mean, you just kind of look at that and say, okay, well, that explains.
Can't get worse from here.
Right, you know. I mean, he went to Anderlecht from there.
Yeah, I mean, that says more than anything, really.
He was able to get out of the hellhole that was Chivas USA.
Yep.
That's an accomplishment in and of itself. Mm. Hey, remember Eric Avila? He was one of those guys, too.
This is true.
Matter of fact, you could go down a list of Chivas USA players, former players, that did nothing there and probably had more success basically anywhere else they went.
It's a
low bar.
There are a few of those success stories of former Chivas USA players.
Yeah. I don't think we really want to go into it, though.
No, I mean,
save it for another show.
We can.
we could, but you're just trying to avoid talking about this team, aren't you?
At all costs.
Yeah, okay, well, we're going to talk about this team. I know it hurts.
Hey,
but listen, Kljestan set up Higuita for the first goal, his first goal in quite a while.
Mm-hmm.
Kljestan with the forced own goal. What a great finish by Ciani, the defender for LA. I mean, that back heel would be goal of the week anywhere if it was the offensive team doing it. But
former Chivas USA player Jesse Marsh.
He seemed to be doing pretty good.
Doing pretty well for himself.
Yeah, a little bit. But yeah, in terms of the game, there were positive passages of play, and then there were really poor passages of play. Amro Tarek just looks like the shell of himself that he played early in the season. Like, as soon as he came back from Egypt,
it's like it just felt like, I don't know if it was just dejected or deflated or what, but yeah, he hasn't been playing the same way at all.
It's really weird.
It's not been great. It's not been a great time for him.
No, not at all. But I mean, to be fair, the entire back line has been kind of a struggle. You've had injuries for every single position. Scott Setter's missed it a chunk amount of time. The only position that really hasn't been injury prone has been left back, and that's just been like a rotating circle of people because they've been inconsistent.
You remember when the club added Chris Schuler, and we said, this is really a depth signing. He's a training body. If he starts, something has gone terribly wrong. Guys, something went terribly wrong.
Yeah, I mean, listen, he's not terrible, but he's... Let me put it to you this way. Having talked to some of his former college teammates back in Creighton, he plays the exact same way he does now than he did then. He just boots everything downfield and has a lead foot.
Great.
I mean, listen, as a defender, just clearing your lines?
That's been great at that so far.
Right, yeah, well, just not man-marking or playing out of the back, which is something that
you would want a defender to do.
Right, especially in the modern game. I think Chris Schuler back maybe 7-8 years ago was good because...
Yeah, he's a 2.0
yeah.
Holdover. That's,
you know, it's not a bad thing that he was good then, not now, but like he's serviceable. I think that's the better way of putting it. And he'll do his job. He'll go out there and be like the veteran leader in the back. Problem is, his body just can't keep up with his mind right now.
No. He will look visibly tired.
Yes. Hey, but Shane O'Neill, you know, if he had played in that game, I think they probably would have been able
to... Yeah, if he was available.
Right. Unfortunately, that red card...
Yeah, those things kind of complicate matters.
Yeah, just a tiny bit.
Yeah.
Just a tiny bit. But hey, you've got some... They've had a few days off now, Orlando City has. They've had Monday and Tuesday off, trained Wednesday, availability this morning, as in Thursday. Unfortunately, I won't be able to put in audio because, well, this is pre-recorded. But, yeah, it's another game coming up. You got the New England Revolution, and well, they're average, and it's at home, so...
Yep. It's at home.
So you'd hope it's going to be a positive game? I really don't know how to describe this team, because sometimes they're on, sometimes they're off, and sometimes they're just like, what the hell is this team anymore? There's no good way to describe this team, because like there's performances where they'll just look like they've taken off, and then there's other performances, seemingly, that they're when they're away from home. The Columbus game and the LA game were the two better games that they've had compared to the New York game here at home. I'd say the Toronto game was okay because they won, but there were still like a lot of instances where Toronto easily could have won if they had finished their chances.
You made a lot of promises to the Macho Man, didn't you? Promises that you didn't keep.
It's a good way of putting it.
I mean, when you think about it, this team, at the onset, when they came in, was built to win. One win in 13 MLS matches.
That silence is just going to sit there for a minute.
Matches.
And I'll tell you something right now. A man in my position cannot be bored to look ridiculous at any time. When that comes from me, that says something.
And looking ridiculous, it's kind of what they're doing, especially with the news that they've been given the All-Star game next year.
See, this is something that's been in the works since 2016.
Yeah, this was a thing that once they got the stadium, it was kind of like a, hey, we're, you know,
we're ready
Garber,
now.
Garber was like, we're going to give you guys this just as soon as it's ready.
Mm-hmm. And then they gave it to Atlanta.
They gave it to Atlanta because, you know.
And the club was very upset about that.
Yeah. Just, you know. Look, I get it from a business standpoint. I mean, you have a...
You literally could have just done Orlando, then Atlanta, instead of Atlanta, then Orlando.
Well, here's the thing, right? You don't know how much longer Atlanta's going to be this good for, especially if some of their better players end up leaving after
which
this
will
year.
Absolutely happen.
Right. So, given Atlanta's history of, let's say, fair-weatheredness when it comes to their sports teams,
mm-hmm.
You know, you want to strike while the iron's hot.
Yeah.
I mean, Orlando hasn't lived up to, they haven't defied expectations in mm-hmm. any sense. They haven't lived up to that motto in some time. So
maybe off the field?
Right, but I think that really contributes more to saying like, they're pretty consistent, so they'll still show out for things, even if their on-the-field product isn't as good.
I know a lot of fans have had issues with that. Right, like they're saying, well, if MLS is going to screw us over with some of these calls and some of these other things, then we just won't show up.
But I think that's a vocal minority.
It's sentiment. Very much a minority, but it's something that people will see and say, well, interesting. This kind of, yeah, I don't want to give my money to something that's bad and also the league doesn't like.
Right. Well, again, I think it's a vocal minority sentiment. I think when you look at it. You know, year over year, the club has had, you know, renewal rates above 90% for both years.
Mm.
So what that says to me is that people are still going to come out.
Yeah.
You know, this year, it might take a little dip.
But you've got a waiting list still.
But you've got a waiting list. They're going to come out. People want to see Orlando soccer, whether recent results have really supported that, you know. Desire for people to go out. I think at this point it's more them trying to support the club and having a new coach and showing that, hey, we really want this to work more than anything else. And I think that's great. Mm. Fans sticking by the club and really trying to make the most of a not great situation. So I think if anything that says to the league that, you know, Orlando's steady and they're going to be there for a while. So why not, you know?
Yeah, it was interesting with the All-Star Game announcement. A lot of people were saying, oh, this is why the renewal stuff hasn't gone out yet, because they're going to upcharge us for season tickets because of the All-Star Game.
I would make some reservations about that if it's just the All-Star Game announcement as the reason why they were holding out. That yeah, doesn't
there's
seem...
There's probably a bit more
especially
to
considering
it.
That the All-Star Game probably wouldn't have been included in... Your no. season ticket member?
Like, it's probably one of those things where it's like, hey, if you're a season ticket holder, you get first dibs at the tickets.
Yeah, that's exactly what they would have done, just seeing how the club has done things previously. They'll give season ticket members like first right to, you know,
refusal.
They'll put like a pre-sale out there, and you know, if season ticket members want to take advantage of it, they will. But
you would think they would, right?
Yeah. No, I absolutely think they will.
I mean, it's not like it's gonna happen very often. There's 23 other teams in the league.
And not only that, but the draw of who their opponent next year would possibly be.
Watch them get someone like Boca Juniors or something.
I think it's going to be a European club. I'm thinking either...
they've had Arsenal, they've had Chelsea, they've had Tottenham within the last 5 years. They've had Real Madrid, now Juventus. Barcelona?
Man City?
Ooh.
Liverpool?
Liverpool.
I would say probably an English club.
They're going to get Everton, aren't they? They're going to be like, hey, Wayne Rooney, all-star, let's get Everton here so he can play his former club. Like Giovinco and Juventus now. They're making that a whole storyline?
Yeah.
Now we're going to make an Ibra storyline, but of course he's not playing.
No, he won't play in it next year either.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert.
Why not? It's not turf.
I don't think that was the main reason why he held out.
I mean, he hasn't played on turf this year.
He hasn't, but I also don't think, you know, he really has much of an incentive to play in an All-Star game.
That's true.
I'll full disclosure, I'm not a huge vocal supporter of an All-Star game. It breaks up the season, especially right now where teams are, you know, trying to make that push into the playoffs as it gets into the latter half of the second part of the season, so... I'm just not a huge fan of the whole dog and pony show, really. Doesn't really do anything for the league other than, you know, showcase like their talent, which is really just fan votes, I think, are the stupidest thing in sports. It doesn't actually show anything except who can stuff a ballot better.
If Zaza Pachulia can be an MLS, an NBA All-Star, what does that say about a fan vote?
Oh, they're garbage.
Right.
They're absolute garbage.
He actually didn't make it. He almost made it. But almost, still,
yeah,
Zaza Pachulia, of all people.
Like, yeah, come on, he's going to be out there stepping underneath people's jump shots. That's what he's an All-Star at. But, you know,
I say bring back the skills challenge. Did you see that video from, like, 2000s?
I think that's the actual interesting part of All-Star weekends for any sport in general, really. It's just seeing players, like, do things, not actually, like...
I feel like that's probably something they could do. Like, hey, look at our fancy players doing fancy tricks and doing things that they don't do in games because they're not good enough.
Oh, yeah, it doesn't matter. Nothing matters, no.
You're right about that. Anyways, let's go ahead and move on. Pride, they're also playing this week, and they've had a few weeks off. Tournament of Nations has been happening. USA plays Brazil, and Japan plays Australia. Those are the last two games to happen. If Japan beats Australia and U.S. beats Brazil, then U.S. win. Currently, they're tied on points after after the win, or the draw. Last-second draw, Megan Rapinoe had a cross in for Lindsay Horan, that's what it was. So, yeah, good ball from Rapinoe to Horan, header, goal. Interesting note, though, because the Australia goal came from Lisa Devanna, who's been training with the Pride.
Not as a member of the Pride.
Correct, just as a person training with the Pride. But, you know, that's all Tom.
Yep.
Right? Yep. He can take credit for that goal. He can be like, that's my doing.
We practiced that.
We practiced you running down the field and nobody getting in your way. That's what we practiced. Anyways, with the Pride, they've got, the Pirate Night is this weekend, which I'm pretty excited about. I don't know about you, Brad, but I'm thrilled.
Oh, I'm pitching a tent.
They're playing Sky Blue, which is supposedly a winnable game. Though they left it late last time. They only won 2-1 after a Alex Morgan cross for Rachel Hill.
Hill's a very competitive person, but I want to tell you something right now. I play to win, and this is non-title.
Technically, this is title, though. Like,
it's for a playoff spot. That's not the title.
But, like, you can't play for the title unless you're in the playoffs.
Right.
So, by the transitive property, you're kind of playing for a title.
Is every game a must-win if the objective is to win games?
Yes.
There we go.
Okay. That's fair. Pride are playing the worst team in the league. If they don't win this game, I think you could probably say their playoff hopes are gone.
They do play Sky Blue one more time, so I wouldn't say they're gone.
Right, but you have other teams that you're playing that are like, wow, maybe we should probably win this game so we don't have to necessarily win the other games. You know? Because... The other games coming up are against North Carolina, Chicago, Portland, good teams.
Yeah, and again, I do think that, you know, look, I do think that they should absolutely win this game. It's also kind of a bad thing that the Chicago and New Jersey game got pushed back because now Orlando's going to have two games in on Chicago.
Yeah, that's not great.
Not great, Bob. We'll see how that plays out. It has started to rain at the fourth official manor.
All right, well, the Pride are getting ready for the game, I'm excited for Pirate Night. As we're saying, we're going through this pretty quickly. So, quick other notes that are going on. The other day, it's not officially official yet because the team hasn't, like, officially announced it, but it's pretty much official. They brought in a new reporter for the replacement of Mackenzie Thurkill, and she's got credentials.
She's got some bona fides to her.
Yeah. So Jenny Chu is her name. She has most recently been with the Portland Thorns, Portland Timbers organization up there in Oregon as an intern. She's not actually been, like, a full-time, which is partially the reason that she is taking this opportunity in Orlando, because I know a lot of people are like, well, why would she leave Portland if she would, you know, she would have to come here to Orlando? Like, Portland's a great opportunity, but she was only an intern from what I understand. So this is an actual job opportunity, and the reception has been incredible. Like, yeah. There's actually been a lot of people that have been, like, really upbeat about her, and especially, like, the national media. Like, Mia Hamm was, like, really on top of this. She was, like, retweeting Grant Wall, who also was really, really positive about Jenny, and he was saying, like, how he worked with her in the 2016 Olympics and that she's going to be a star, right? And
how lucky we are to have her here.
Right, yeah. And
that should give fans a huge, like, something huge to look forward to as far as, like, what the club is going to be putting out as far as, like, media and content goes. And to see someone, you know, who has very recent playing experience covering both teams, I think, is going to be huge.
Yeah. And it's not only that, though, but she's, right, a mass communications major, so she's got, like, the actual background in journalism. Mm-hmm. She's a former player at University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, one of the best women's soccer programs in the nation.
Yeah.
She's played overseas for a time, out in Australia, I believe. She's played for the Mexican youth national teams, right? So she's actually, she's Mexican, she's Chinese, and she's American. So she's got just about everything covered. She speaks Spanish and English fluently. So she can be able to interview a lot of the Spanish-speaking players on the field and do the quick translations. That's something McKenzie couldn't do.
She was part of an NCAA tournament semifinals team in 2016.
Yeah.
So, I mean, she's played for clubs that do have quite a bit of, I would say, quite a bit of success. They've produced, I mean, look, Mia Hamm, Crystal Dunn, Heather O'Reilly, just a lot of players that have come from UNC. I'm pretty happy about, you know, her coming along.
Yeah, and she's got, like, a great personality too. Like, I've heard from Jamie Chin, former communications director at Orlando City, who's now in Portland and has worked with her a lot over the last year. He's really, like, she's going to be a superstar. She's just an amazing person in general, and I think that's all you could ask for, especially for someone who's, you know, she's just starting her career, basically, and this is pretty much, like, the best jumping-off point that she could have, and she brings a lot of credentials to the equation, right? Yeah. Everything you could ask for in a soccer reporter is something that she brings. Not only that, but she could, like, jump on the field with the Pride for training or something.
Yeah.
And, to do a little bit with them, or, like, you know, like a crossbar challenge or whatever. She could jump in with the Pride or City and do little bits like that, you know?
Yeah.
I think that would be kind of fun to see. So, hey, Ed, Ryan, if you're listening to this, jump on that.
Yeah, there's some free ideas for you there.
Yeah. Well, they're not free. We expect royalties. So, other than that, like I said, we're keeping this pretty short because the All-Star game is happening. The last other thing I would really mention is, I guess, the Justin Merrim situation, because we didn't talk about that last week.
He's still with the team.
He trained with the team. He
trained with the team today, but he trained separately from the team a week ago.
Yeah, he went to go see Eddie Johnson.
Yeah.
Which, to be fair, I mean, you don't know the whole situation. All you see is what you see, not everything else behind it. So it could be that James O'Connor said, hey, go work with my buddy Eddie over here on your footwork. Which is probably not what happened, because Eddie Johnson literally said he's going to be great whatever team he's with at the end of the day. So maybe the club worked through that whole situation and they kind of talked to him about it. Maybe he's just training for like a day or two until he gets transferred. There's a number of things that could possibly be happening, but either way, it's kind of a weird situation.
So word is no word yet.
Right, pretty much. So with that, I think we're going to end the show because, well, it's, like I said, a quick show.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot happening. We'll get to some more of it next week. We might even have a special guest or two on. Who knows? And at this point, who cares? Orlando play on Saturday. The Pride play on Sunday. The All-Star game is, well, yesterday when you're listening to this. So hopefully Yoshi did well and didn't get injured. Anyways, that's been Brad Newton. My name's Austin David. Thanks for listening to a shortened version of the Orlando Soccer Show. We'll be live from the stadium on Sunday, not on Saturday. We'll have the press conferences on Saturday and Sunday, but then Brad and I will be live from the stadium to do our post-game show because Mike Ramajo, he's out of town. So be sure to tune in for that when it comes about. So again, thanks for listening, and we'll see you later.
Yep, pitter-patter, let's get at her.
I think that your time is done, and I think that the spotlight should go on top of me, yeah.